Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow believers, I'm sure this comes as no surprise to you that children can be stubborn. For instance, you see a child doing something wrong or they're doing something in a very difficult way, and you try to correct them. But after a while, they may just say to you, "No, I have to do it this way." And so eventually, you just kind of have to back off and let them do their thing. And I'm sure this comes as no surprise to you, but adults can also be stubborn. We can be stuck in our ways, and even when people try to correct us or show us a better way to do things, we tell them, "No, have to do it this way." Today, Jesus had to do something in his own way. But unlike children and adults who can be stubborn, what Jesus had to do was correct and right. Even though what Jesus was going to do was going against the social norms of his day, Jesus had to go and do what he had to do. Now he had to go through Samaria. Technically speaking, no, he didn't. Sure, the quickest way to travel from Judea up to Galilee was to go through the land of Samaria, but no self-respecting Jew would travel through that area. They would go out of their way, traveling around the Jordan River to go between Judea and Galilee. No Jew would be caught dead in Samaria. But why was that? It's because the Samaritans were a mixed race of Jews with other pagan people. And therefore, the Jews in Galilee and Judea thought that these Samaritans had betrayed their Jewish bloodline by intermarrying with these other pagan nations. But Jesus had to go to associate with this Samaritan woman. Jesus, being true man, became tired, and he sat down by the well. This Samaritan woman came up to the well to draw some water, and Jesus asked her for a drink. The woman responded to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." The Samaritan woman was shocked that Jesus, a Jew, would associate with her being a Samaritan, because that just wasn't the social norms of the day. But Jesus had to go and do what he had to do to associate with this Samaritan. Why? It's because he is the Savior of all nations. God had sworn an oath to Abraham that one of his descendants would bless all the people. And even though Jesus later on said that salvation is from the Jews, salvation was not only for the Jews. He is the Savior of all people, including this Samaritan, including you and me. If salvation were only for the Jews, then you and I would be out of luck. For we are not Jewish people, we are Gentiles. But salvation is also for us. As Paul told us this morning, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. This is why Jesus had to go to associate with this Samaritan. But that was not the only reason that Jesus had to go and do what he had to do. Jesus also had to go to reach out to a sinner. And notice how Jesus is the master at evangelism here. After the woman was surprised that a Jew would associate with her, Jesus didn't take the time to sit down and talk about all the differences between the Jews and the Gentiles. Instead, he used the context of where they were to reach out to her. Jesus said to her, "If you knew who was asking you for water, you would ask me for a drink of living water." The Samaritan woman was perplexed by this because Jesus didn't have anything to draw water with. And she also asked Jesus, "Do you really think that you are greater than our patriarch father, Jacob, who gave us this well?" Jesus responded, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." When the Samaritan woman heard this, she was excited. She wanted to receive this water from Jesus so that she would never be thirsty again. But she didn't realize that Jesus was not talking about physical water, but the spiritual water of God's grace. And this Samaritan woman didn't realize why she needed this spiritual water of God's grace. That's why Jesus had to go to her to reach to a sinner. He told the woman, "Go back and bring your husband." The woman responded, "I don't have a husband." To which Jesus said, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." The Samaritan woman was living with her boyfriend, giving the impression that she was married. This was sinful of her to do, and she didn't realize that this was a sin. That's why Jesus had to point that out to her. Now, as Solomon once said, there is nothing new under the sun. In our day and age, nothing has changed. In our society and culture, couples tend to live together before they are married. And they may give you a variety of reasons for doing this, such as it's just cheaper for us to live together. It's a way for us to see if we are compatible for being married. And it's just what people do nowadays. Society may say those things, but God says otherwise. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Marriage and the gifts that come from marriage are to be respected and honored by all. But if you are living with your boyfriend or girlfriend right now, or if you used to live with your boyfriend and girlfriend, and even though you are married now, yet you have never repented of that sin, then you are under God's judgment. If you are living in this sin and living in impenitence, there is no forgiveness. But what about the rest of us who may not have committed this sin? Do not think these words don't apply to you. First of all, if we see someone living in this sin and we don't say anything about it, then we are committing sin. And second of all, Scripture tells us, "Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" We have died to sin. We are no longer to commit and to live in sin. Now, of course, we will sin against God each and every day. But understand, there's a difference between struggling with sin and living in sin. Struggling with sin means that we are fighting against it. Living in sin is the complete opposite. And understand how dangerous and poisonous it is to our faith if we are living in sin. If we are living in any sin, our consciences can become calloused to the point that we think that this sin is no longer sin anymore. And therefore, we excuse our sin by saying, it's really not that bad. If we are living in a sin, it can almost become like an addiction, like an itch we just can't scratch until we commit that sin. And therefore, we excuse our sin by saying, I just have to do this. If we are living in a sin, it doesn't just affect us, but affects others as well. For they can see the sin we commit, and they can think, since my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my friend do this, it must be okay. And therefore, we can excuse our sin by saying, I just grew up this way. And if we are living in a sin, ultimately, we are only drawing from the well of sin that fills us up with God's wrath and condemnation instead of drawing from the well of Jesus that fills us up with God's grace and justification. But because we sin and because sometimes we can live in sin, Jesus should have gone away from us, leaving us in our sins and in God's condemnation. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus had to go, and he had to do what he had to do in order to create true worshipers. After Jesus pointed out the sin of the Samaritan woman, she realized that Jesus was a prophet. And she asked Jesus why the Jews looked down on the Samaritans and told them they had to worship on the mountain in Jerusalem. To this, Jesus responded, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Remember that the Samaritans were a mixed race of the Jews and other pagan people, and therefore their religion was a mixture of all of these pagan beliefs. That's why Jesus said, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know, and the Jews worship what they do know." But Jesus told her that the true worshipers were coming, that would worship God in spirit and in truth. He said that time is coming and has now come. When the Samaritan woman heard this, she asked Jesus, "I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." That's why Jesus had to go to create true worshipers. Even though God is spirit, Jesus became human. Jesus was the descendant of Abraham that would bless all the nations. He was the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, who would lay down his life for the sins of all people. He was the one who spoke God's word and its truth and purity to all people so that they could be brought to faith. And Jesus, our prophet, continues to speak God's word and its truth and purity so that people can worship him in spirit and in truth. It's the message of Christ that has brought us to faith. And that's what it means to worship God in spirit. It doesn't matter where we worship God, as long as we worship him in faith. But we are also to worship him in truth. Let us not follow the social norms of this day when it comes to worship. But we need to worship God according to his word. For it is only the law and the gospel that will pierce our hearts by showing us our sins and healing our hearts through the message of the gospel that is welling up inside of us that gives eternal life. That water began to well up inside of us at our baptisms. There God washed away our sins and brought us to faith. And even though our baptism may have happened so long ago, we remember what baptism means for our lives with these words. The sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Let us not continue to live in a sin, but let us take off our sinful nature and with all of its desires. Let us turn to God in repentance, and let us continue to live for him. For in this way, God will forgive us our sins, and we can worship him in spirit and in truth. But you and I and this Samaritan woman would have never known that, except for the fact that Jesus had to go and do what he had to do. And what was the result of Jesus interacting with this Samaritan woman? She left Jesus and went to her village. She told the people everything that had happened, and many of the Samaritans came to Jesus and worshiped him, not on their mountain, but in spirit and in truth. Jesus had to go to associate with the Samaritan because he is the Savior of all people, including you and me. Jesus had to go to reach out to a sinner so that she would no longer be living in her sin, but turning to Jesus to receive the water of life. Let us also not continue to live in sin, but let us turn to Jesus so that our spiritual thirst for God's grace can be quenched through Christ. Jesus had to go to create true worshipers. Because of what he did, many Samaritans came to faith. And Jesus, our prophet, speaks to us through his word to bring us to faith so that we can worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus had to go and do what he had to do. And we thank and praise him for that. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.